Welcome to yet another edition of Working Together. This is a weekly program that looks at the work of UN agencies, international and non-governmental organizations, and humanitarian actors in South Sudan, how they partner in their work with the local people in providing services to the community. The program helps us to share issues that are affecting the people in the communities and provide solutions. Don't forget to take a look at our Facebook/Radio Miraya, and you can also follow us on Twitter at Radio Miraya. My name is Regina Gorle. Welcome back, listener, and today we are going to look at the activities of Action Girls Africa in collaboration with the Resilience Organization. They have been doing great work here in the communities and also here in South Sudan, and of recent also they benefited from some training that they have been there with the partners that have been training some women on certain topics that they are going to be telling us. And in the studio, I'm joined by the Executive Director of Action Girls Africa, Kiko Susan, and also we have Kevin Abalo, the Executive Director, Resilience Organization, and these ladies are here with me in the studio. You're very most welcome, ladies.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, and you're welcome. I can start by each person. Maybe I can start with Susan to tell us a little background of Action Girls Africa. Then we go to Kevin also to tell us about what Resilience Organization does, in short, in brief. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm very privileged to be hosted here in Radio Miraya. Kiko Susan, again, I work for Action Girls Africa as the Executive Director. Action Girls Africa is a national organization that was registered in South Sudan since 2017 with the Relief and Rehabilitation Commission of the Republic of South Sudan under the NGO Act. And our registration number is 585. So Action Girls Africa was established specifically to empower and educate young girls and the mothers or women in general, including the male counterparts. So we have been collaborating or supporting these women, empowering them through different thematic areas. Mm-hmm. And one of the many thematic areas that we deal on is education. The other one is women and girls' economic empowerment. And we also do reproductive health.
Okay.
And then the others are cross-cutting. So in these activities, we have been doing in education. We promote education among the girls, encourage girls to go to school. In economic empowerment, we have been training them on life skills, especially arts and crafts. It does not require any knowledge, but an idea on how to make something or design it so that you are able to
support
put it
yourself.
Something.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in reproductive health, we look at the sexual reproductive transmitted diseases, where we do awareness to young girls on how to be able to prevent these diseases. And also we do menstrual hygiene management, where we aware girls on how to manage a menstrual during especially for the school girls, where most normally do not go to school when they are in that condition. So we encourage them to be able to manage it, and they are able to be in school while in that condition.
Thank you. We get
yes.
to Kevin, Resilience Organization.
Okay. Thank you very much, Regina, mm-hmm. and thanks for having us. Of course, Resilient Organization is official organization or a well-established and registered organization under Relief and Rehabilitation mm-hmm. Commission. And Resilient Organization is a a women-led organization, of course, but it also focuses so much on youth and adolescent girls. Resilient organization had been in existence since 2017. Until now, we had really been engaged with our community, especially the young people and the young women or women at the reproductive age and young adolescent girls. Resilient organization creates awareness on quality adolescent reproductive health, or I can say adolescent sexual reproductive health. This is the main, and it is one of the top resilient organization project or activity that is currently running. We create demand for sexual reproductive health services, and the reason why we took it as one of our top and one of the biggest activities as we do as a resilient organization, because we have realized that sexual reproductive health link into so many things, including it's actually a broad, it's an umbrella of so many issues that affect young women, including even their human right. Sexual reproductive health, we have learned that sexual reproductive health are component of GBV, SGBV, and it has well also promote the young people's and young women and girls' right. And that is why we have really taken sexual reproductive health for youth and adolescents as one of our top projects ever, because it is more of an umbrella
and
of all
this.
And
if I may come in, yeah, these two organizations almost not doing the same thing, but almost you are collaborating in same thing. So why do you choose young people?
The reason why we choose young people, it's that young people are, of course, they are the majority. They are the highest population in the Republic of South Sudan. As you and I know, this is why we choose them. Mm-hmm. And we also choose the women and girls so much and young people because they are always vulnerable when it comes into situations such as war or any criminal act in the community. Even though without war, any criminal act, always women and girls are really suffering into that. They're a kind of vulnerable because they are women sometimes, I mean, because they're differentiated based on their sex sometimes. So, but most especially it's because they are the higher population in South Sudan, and always we need to keep them, we need to let them learn, we need to let them know that your right is very important. You have to know your right. You also have to know your sexual reproductive health, right? So that we can avoid too much unwanted pregnancy and let every girl go to school so that we can avoid rampant maternity rate. Yes, rate in South Sudan, which is really shooting so very much. So we want to avoid that so that we can save lives of women and young girls, so that we can really have educated females in South Sudan and have the 35% affirmative action really in place.
Let me get to Susan.
Yes.
As you do your activities, do you think you have changed some young people behavior change?
Thank you very much. As my colleague has mentioned, we target mostly young people, and it's for the purpose that most of them are vulnerable, and they are always influenced in many ways because they are getting to know what is real life and also the challenges that they go through if they are not well managed or aware on the challenges, they can go astray. So for in regard to what we have done, as I mentioned before, we have been doing women economic empowerment, where we give skills to young adolescent girls and mothers. We also did the awareness in school on education. So for me, the activities that we have done with specific people, because I know that the needs are very high, and because of limited resources, you cannot reach anywhere. You cannot reach everybody.
And then
the few things that we have done, we have reached. Yeah, we have realized that we have brought a lot of changes because of the skills that we have given training women
and girls. reliant. They are now trying to manage things by themselves.
They have the skill. They are able to make to put their skills in practice, and out of that, they are able to produce a product where they can go to the market and sell.
Yeah.
I see, like in Lemungaba, we trained some young girls who are unable even to buy for themselves exercise books, and now they are because they are able to sell those items, and then they get 1,000, 2,000, then they go and buy books. Others can buy sanitary pads. Even the school was very, very much appreciative to what we have done. Okay. So the skills empowerment has improved in terms of economic situation and sustainability of families, and even basic needs through the mothers and those who are trained directly. Mm-hmm. And also many girls in the areas that we have been doing awareness in terms of education. And in the schools, we have really changed some lives whereby they are able to know that education is the only key. And those girls who are at home because their parents were not paying attention, maybe to take them to school. I remember one of the girls, we talked to the parents, and they are able to really give chance for this girl to go to school.
So the parents wanted?
They were saying the reason they were giving is that they didn't have resources
to pay this
pay this girl, so now she can just stay at home.
And you said, no, so that's not the right thing.
Exactly, and they brought her for this training, so she's able to raise some things, and also the liquid soap where we train them to make, so they can sell and be able to get something. So in one way or the other, it's a process, but we have changed some lives in the activities that we have done, and the trainings that we provided in different capacities with other partners as well.
Yeah, thank you. And before I go to Kevin, if you could tell us a little bit of... is it this week there was a training that was provided for women? You can touch a little bit, or Kevin is the one to touch.
Last time we shared something, I think, with you, that we are in a training, and the training was about women, peace, and security. Yeah. And we know that this women, peace, and security is all about the Security Council Resolution 1325. And basically, it urges all actors to increase participation of women and incorporate gender perspectives in all the UN peace and security efforts. Mm. So in that training, we learned a lot in terms of women, peace and security, where we looked at the National Action Plan, which is recently also validation of the National Action Plan 2 was done. And then where in this case, we always look at the four pillars. Mm. And the four pillars are the participation, protection, prevention, relief, and recovery. So basically, as organizations, we always emphasize in this women, peace, and security, where we are looking at equal participation of women in decision-making.
Sure.
Involvement of women in maintaining and promoting peace, and also generally most organizations, including Action Girls Africa and Resilience. As we mentioned, we deal on gender-based violence and things related to sexual violence, where we also take opportunity to condemn the use of sexual gender violence against women as an instrument used in conflict and even in post-conflict situation.
Thank you.
So awaring them on that. So basically, this was the training and some of the things that we looked at and we learned during that training.
Yeah. Kevin, why do you think gender and women included in this UN peace and security? Why is it important?
It's really very important. As I stated before, women really suffer a lot. And if you're a good reader, or if you're somebody who love read about South Sudan or reading about South Sudan, you will see that in every page you open, if you want to know something about, you will see that something always pop up about women who suffered during the war, the sexual violence that occurs during the war, and who were the most people who suffered during war. It was them. So women sometimes, some women are not so much aware, especially my sisters mm-hmm. who are deeply in the grassroots area, and those ones with little civil knowledge, mm-hmm. so they are not so much aware of their right. So the women have to participate. The women have to decide sometimes. They have to be included in decision-making at all levels, even in grassroots area. Even, by the way, women who are not even educated, sometimes they are more knowledgeable than we
they
educated.
They have that wisdom.
Yes, they have that God-given wisdom. Mm. So we are just telling, like, everybody at all level, all the state, the Bomas, the Payam, the county, the state itself, they have to encourage. Nationwide, we have to encourage women participation. So it is important that women are included, because these four pillars here, if we really constructively implement them, then the too much suffering of women will reduce. We are not saying that men are not suffering. Men are as well suffering. Rujal ketir kaman yani bukunfin nasawin. Nasawin tanin gawin. Bidugu. Bidugu rujal tanin. So, masalen, anama bigul galen nasawin. Barao yao gadi dugu berujal wel gada mullom. Repping wahayet kida. Lakin, juzum. Alga hamulu repping lom ketir hao dak ketir bemshi diamond lemuno le nasawin wo banat sakhirin hao iyal wo kaman masalan je mashakil al hasil fi 2013 or 2016 the nasal safa shedid nas muno le nasawin wo yal yao safa shedid ya hashenkida. It's very important for women really to really know these four pillars of UN resolution Resolution Council on 1325. They have to be aware of these four pillars. That is why such workshop is very important. And in the workshop, we were able to come up with the consortiums, by the way. And this is a very serious consortiums that is so much going to focus on the four pillars. And this consortiums is comprised of women-led organization, only women-led organization. So the consortiums is going to be very, very strong, and we are encouraging women really to join these consortiums to be members, so that we fight women issue nationally as Junubian. Yes.
Okay, thank you so much, and you have explained that one. And we would want to look at these women. Most of the time they say, people like you who are heading offices, you only concentrate your trainings in town and forgetting them there in the grassroots.
That is very true. I want to agree with them somehow that most training happens here in Juba. Sometimes it's not our desire. Sometimes the donors, sometimes we are restricted by our funders, you know. The donors sometimes restrict. They will say, no, this funding, we need you to use it here in Juba, only within Central Equatorial State. That is one.
Or other thing, can we tell, maybe they believe that maybe other areas there is remote
the insecurity. Yes. The insecurity is also one of the issue here. Because no donor will want to risk anybody's life. So their worry is that the team or the organization or the staff of the organization might really be into problem, or they might get into security issues. Yes. So if they get into security issues, then the donor will be blamed. They will be sent to court. They have to compensate this person, and you see, that's why they are always restricting. And for sure, I really pity with our young girls and women who are deeply in the grassroots area. But we thank God, peace is coming, and peace is almost there. It's knocking at our door, and I can promise them that we will reach them, come rain, come sunshine.
Yes. Yes. And before we take our callers, let us touch a little about today is World Press Freedom Day. Before we take our callers, so why do you think this day is important? And in South Sudan, is freedom of expression is really free?
Okay. The day is really very, very important. Especially the last question you asked, is freedom of expression existing in our country? I can say there is a little bit of changes compared to those days. At least there is a little kind of a sound of freedom of express. I can see thousands of South Sudanese now on social media even coming up, you know, to talk. If they fail to talk communally, they go on air. They send strong messages on online. They're trying to express, but they express themselves while also feeling insecure. Like somebody might come for me, like me here right now, I'm talking here, and you know, somebody might be there waiting for me. She is on Radio Mirai. So people have that kind of fear. So the freedom of expression in South Sudan is not really up to the expected up to the expected level. So we need more freedom of expression in South Sudan. So I can say the freedom in South Sudan, freedom of expression in South Sudan is really, I can say it is 30% out of 100, because we have had, we have seen and we have heard a lot of civil society activists that currently even don't live in the country, because they really took that step of speaking loudly, you know, feeling like expressing themselves and what their community go through. Because the work of civil society organization is to really communicate the suffering of the citizen. So the civil society organization are the voice of the voiceless citizen of South Sudan. So when they speak so much about what the community want them to speak about, they feel insecure. And we have number of cases that really makes me feel that the freedom of expression in South Sudan is 30% out of 100.
Yes, Susan, if you can add something, how much do you think the government and the actors, let me say civil society and other actors, should work together to make sure that there's freedom of expression?
Well, thank you. Just to add on what my colleague has said, we know that today is World Press Freedom Day, and the theme is Shaping a Future of Rights. And it normally aims at reminding governments, all actors, to uphold the rights to freedom of expression and speech. So, looking at our context, we know that in previous events, we have seen reports saying some of our activists arrested, journalists, some of them have lost life, and generally in our women peace and security involvement in addressing some of these issues, it's like the environment it's not really 100% favorable for one to express. As it is said, it's a right, suppose, where I need to try to air maybe what I'm feeling in my heart, and maybe a situation related to development that is not going
healthy,
on well. There's nothing improving. Citizens maybe are not safe and
satisfied,
staying in really conditions that are not fair to human life. So suppose it's an opportunity for us to express using this platform, especially in the organization, using the media. So it is not 100% well, but I know we did see ongoing implementation of the peace agreement, and as my colleague mentioned, we are really hoping for a total peace where we are able to express and do developmental activities through expressing ourselves, our views, and changing what is right into good. So in collaboration, we are hoping that we cooperate together with our government to realize peace, and we are able to express ourselves freely and to share ideas of developmental addressing issues of women, peace and security. So in this day, I really hope that the government will take responsibility of protecting the views of every citizens and ensuring that together we can collectively change anything that is not going well, and we develop our country for the purposes of keeping our citizenship and the people of South Sudan.
Thank you so much. We go for this short break music, and after that we'll take your call on 0929686297 and SMS 0912177141, and other number is 0912062950 and 0912062079, and you'll be able to call us. Stay tuned. I'm Regina Gorle with my guest here in the studio.
What is it? It's a remix pattern. Silver Age, it's a remix pattern. Member, it's a holy land family. Fresh mind, fresh ideas from studio. I live with Dunia. Mama, but this is your code, madam. Like it, they kill him, Mugali.
Listener, you're very most welcome to Working Together with me, Regina Gorle, in the studio. I have the Executive Director of Action Girls Africa, Kiko Susan. We have Kevin Abalo, the Executive Director, Resilience Organization. They are here with us in the studio, taking us through their activities, how they empower women, and also they went through training women about the Security Resolution 1325 that gives women right to participate in leadership with the men, and also we are touching a little bit of the world press freedom, because we all have this right to express or to express what we want to express, and we can't let this day just go like that. So we are touching a few things here and there, and if you have question that you'd want to ask my guest in the studio, you can call us on our numbers. You can still call on 0929686297, and you can be live. And our numbers, you still have them on 0912062950, 0912062079, and you can be live. Let me see someone online. Hello, Radio Miraya. Hello.
Hello, Regina Gorley.
Welcome to the program. Your name and where you're calling from.
Good afternoon, my sister.
Good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm fine. You are speaking to Mabor Alat calling your room back.
Mabor Alat, welcome.
Thank you so much. I welcome the guest in the studio, Radio Mariah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, I have seen that since you came to the studio, I've been listening to your voice, and what I would like that, I would like that these two organizations, they are focusing only in Juba. So I would like to ask from you, will you extend the services to other
Your network is breaking. Where we have got, you're asking if they would want to extend their services. You are breaking up. Thank you so much, Mabor Allah. Thank you. Hello, Radio Mira. Hello. Hello, Radio Mira. Okay, we have lost that person there. And if you are still there online, you can call us so that we find out what you... Hello, Radio Mira.
Hello, Marhab.
Welcome. Kev.
Marhab. Regina Gorele.
Yes, Anna Kwesin. Kevita.
Anna Kwesin, Mabatal. James, Ndiyami, Ntoy.
James, welcome.
Barnami, Kwe Jiden. Anna Kamana, Anna Marhab, do you believe this video here?
Shukran.
برنامج كويس جدا انا ما اعرف دور تومان شنو كمان شغل تومان ده كمان بوصل كمان للتجاولات
yeah. اوكي شكرا سؤالتك دي سيم جريما سؤالتا مابور شكرا كاليس هلو راديو مرايا هلو
راديو مرايا
هلو ويلكم كيف
تمام كيف
انا كويس اسم تاكي منو وتا جينا دي من وين
Yeah, Nogdiano from Awil.
Nog, welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. Regina Gole, it's been a while.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I would like to welcome our guest in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. My question to them is like this, as Juba is very far from other states, and... organization is only based in Juba. This is what I don't know because I have just opened my radio, and I would like to hear from them whether they are going to extend and which time and how many cases of gender-based violence have they recorded so far.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate. They are going to answer you. Hello, Radio Miraya.
Hello, Radio Miraya.
Yes,
welcome.
Yes.
And we are having feedback. Can you move away from that radio?
Yeah, my name is John from Malkan.
Sorry, we are putting you up because we are not getting you. There's a lot of noise. Hello, Radio Miraya. Hello.
Yeah, hello, Radio Miraya.
Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering from a week.
Can you speak a little loud because we are not getting you? It's low.
Okay. I say that you are connected with a program from a week.
Gereng, welcome.
Okay. Not Gereng Kual.
Gereng Kual?
Kual Gereng.
Oh, Kual Gereng. Okay. Welcome, Kual Gereng.
Okay. I really appreciate the topic that you brought up.
Thank you.
I also welcome the guests that are in the studio.
Yeah, they're hearing you.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
I just want to add an addition. Yes, because the topic that you have been talking about is very nice.
Thank
you. I really appreciate it because most of the women are the guide of our nation because they are the ones doing the right thing than most of the men. Yes, this one is what I want to...
So you are commenting them for the great work?
Yes, for the great work that they have done.
Okay.
Yes,
thank you.
If you compare women to the men, they are above than the men because they are the ones who are working hard than
men.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Kuel Gereng. Thank you for your comment there. Hello, Radio Mirai. Hello. Sorry, I think we have a problem with that line. So, yeah, you can answer. Almost three people asked about how you are going to extend to the other grassroots. Almost three people. And then Ngok asked about whether you have recorded GVV cases. And then Cole Gereng made a comment.
Thank you very much. Thanks, callers, for your questions. I will start as the Resilient Organization Executive Director. Our operational location, of course, we are based in Juba. This is where our aid office is. But we also have a field office. We are currently as well in Eastern Equatoria State, that is Torit in particular. And we are also in Magui County, where now we are trying to also lay our route this year. And we are as well, of course, here in Central Equatoria State. So Resilient Organization currently is only focusing in Eastern and Central Equatoria State, but there are plans of, you know, of expanding our activities location, and this will based on our funding. You know, as Resilient Organization, we are resilient, and we want to act as resilient. We don't want to be rampantly in all the state when we do nothing, and we don't want to go there without, you know, helping the communities, because a lot of South Sudanese are suffering, especially women and girls. So we want to go and at least give service. We just don't want to have prison without activities. It doesn't work like that with us. So we can say we will come to each and every state based on our capacity, I mean, our funding or funding availability. On the questions of our brother who asked about the reported cases of SGBV or GBV, basically the cases that are reported currently, it's approximately what the health personnel in South Sudan say they responded to approximately 330 cases of rape, and this is physical violence and other issues related to gender-based violence in 2021. So we cannot go back to 2020 and EDC. We are moving a little, but I know in the past it was even more than this. So in 2021 it was 330 cases, but
and
of course,
these are people who have come forward.
And Indina Ketir al Matala, well, in 2022, come on, Indina Ketir cases Ketir al Hasil.
Tanin asked more, Tanin
Ketir has good more actually. Anna can be good, Gale Bukun Sato Asil Yani. It can go even Bukun fi Halifen, or but I don't want to assume. Anna Mother assume another al data be good. So for 2021, data be good, girls, you know. Is 330 cases of physical violence or rape or hayat kida. And in 2022, it is not yet out, but they are still gathering this data together. You know, we have issues of data in South Sudan. So rape is happening every day, and more people don't report. Yes. So thank you for your question.
Susan, you have anything to add?
Also, just to add on that, yes, GBV cases change every day. And we know that many government and UN partners, donors, are collaborating together to respond on GBV cases or issues. So
Susan,
we have
around UNFPA inside the Juba Teaching Hospital.
UNFPA is there.
And the report provided by the office of the vice president, the chair of the gender and youth cluster, Rebecca Nyandeng, Honorable Rebecca Nyandeng, there was a report put forward, and the numbers was highlighted was in form of percentage. That was around July 2022. So they said about 65% of people suffer sexual or gender-based violence issues in the country. Okay. But we can look and see the updated numbers, and we can also share publicly with people to really understand, and through the partners that are collaborating, we can have updated numbers.
Sure.
So in terms of the geographical location, I know most of the questions are really asking about that. But as the organizations, we are working in collaboration with partners. And for Action Girls Africa, for sure, since we started, we concentrated here in Central Equatorial State, but we are registered as a national organization. A national organization means you can reach and work anywhere where there is need.
Yeah.
But the only thing that is limiting us in terms of challenges is the resources. We have limited fundings.
So
it is difficult to reach some of the locations. But we also registered in Bentiu. We have a focal point there. We also registered in we took license in Warap State. We also have a coordination office, and we also have a coordination focal person in Torit. So some of the places can be reached where there are resources and where there is need. It's only resources limiting us within the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
In 1 minute, in summarizing what we have done, what message would you want to deliver to our listeners? In summary, we are coming to conclusion.
All right. In summary, I just want to pass a message out that as South Sudanese, we are yearning for peace. Let everyone take peace as a responsibility, as a collective effort, starting from our government, partners, NGOs, and even you as an individual. When we have peace, we are able to really have resilience. We are able to cultivate. We are able to provide food for ourselves. So my message is, let us all work for peace.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Radio Maria, for hosting us. And we thank also the callers. And my main point here is, let's work together. Let's work together, men and women. Mm-hmm. Let's work together. The four pillars of the Women, Peace and Security agenda, it's for all of us. Let's work, protect your mother, protect your sister, protect your wife. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, listener, for being with us and following our program. And those who have called, thank you so much. And we have been featuring organization Action Girls Africa, and we also had the Resilience Organization, and they have taken us through their activities, and we also touch a bit of this World Day, Fresh Freedom Day. So stay tuned for another edition of Working Together that comes every Wednesday, so you can be able to know what the organizations are doing in your communities and what services do they offer to you. And at exactly 3, do tune to our news summary, both in Arabic and English, and thereafter you join the drive time. I'm Regina Gorley.